It's your boy V. We back with another episode of the Bourbon on the Rocks podcast. I got my guys with me. What's up, y'all? Go ahead, introduce yourselves.
I changed my name to Ampavelli Smalls, so that's what I'm going by now.
Fair enough.
Rob is here, straight out of SC. Yo. Let's go.
What up, what up? Hey, well, you know, it's another week of being black in America, and here we are. It's been a hell of a fucking week.
Yeah.
And, you know, for those that don't know, what's going on right now is real hectic outside of all this stay-at-home orders and everything. Shit's just barely opening up. And what do we have? We have another unarmed black man killed by the police. George Floyd. And, you know, many people are out protesting to this hour right now. Yeah, it's getting crazy. What are y'all thoughts, man? What do y'all think about this whole situation? What's going on in the streets?
Rob, you want to take first stab at it?
Sure, but I'm just telling you, I got a lot downloaded on. Go ahead. First and foremost, I'm happy to see that so many people are protesting to these wee hours, and I'm talking like East Coast and West Coast time, like right now. Like they had to break up some shit up in Charlotte like an hour ago. Like it's nuts, and like I am happy for that type of thing. But also, kind of comment back on what you just said. You just like, you know, if you haven't heard, you're tone deaf as fuck, and you need a reality check. You need to understand the world that you live in. So that goes without saying. But one more important thing I want to touch on. I've been seeing a real popular meme all over social media. You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand what it's supposed to be communicating to people, but I just want to kind of set the record straight. I don't know. Y'all might have seen it too, but it's this meme going around saying, dear black man, you are loved, you are appreciated, you're not a target, you're a king, blah, blah, blah. And let me just say, like, that's bullshit. Absolute bullshit. And I'm not just speaking for me. I feel like I could speak for all men put in this situation. So I'm going to just go ahead and say it. We are not loved. We are not appreciated. We are targeted. And more importantly, when you put jargon and shit like this out here, you are arming men with false senses of security. Mm-hmm. And you're not allowing them to think for themselves and to feel like, oh, like, now I don't feel like a lot of people believe this, but there's going to be somebody out there who feels this way. Right. There's some black kid in America who's dating some white girl and is believing this type of shit and just feeling like she might be telling him some other type shit like, oh, well, you know, this isn't going to happen to you. This is just the reality for some people you know, and that's not real. I don't give a fuck what you do, where you go, what region of America you live in. You are going to be targeted.
Yeah,
right.
Somebody's going to find a reason not to like you or to do something to you. It could be something you have or just because of the way you look like. And also just speaking as a person who some of the shit has personally happened to, it's just fucked. And I just want, you know, our generation and generations after us, like our children, all to be aware at this point in time in America, in the ugly world we live in, you are a target and you need to be aware. You need to be on top of your shit and don't ever let these motherfuckers catch you slipping. Facts. Because they will try to find a reason, so don't give them a reason.
Right. And that's the cold truth about it. I mean, you hit it on the nail. You know, so many of us have dealt with something of the sort. Obviously, we're still here, we're still breathing, we're still living, but we've been through some type of condemnment that's, you know, made us feel smaller than we are. We've been harassed by the police, we've been harassed by you know, people that we live around, that we're surrounded by, you know, for reasons who knows why. Outside of the fact that we look the way we look, we moved the way we moved, and, you know, people felt threatened. And, you know, one of my biggest problems is, you know, the idea that people don't understand, and they still continue to question why we're so upset. Why are we so bothered by every time a black man is, or a black woman is killed by, you know, law enforcement or a fucking random ass neighbor, you know, people in that neighborhood or whatever. And, you know, it's like y'all don't get it, because we've constantly been, we've had to put up with this, and we've been fighting with this for so long. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could all acknowledge a moment where we've been pulled over.
It's definitely crazy. I want to say rest in peace to Mr. Floyd. Rest in peace to young Trayvon Martin. Rest in peace to Sandra Bland. Rest in peace to all these countless names. Like, it's crazy.
The list goes on, man.
That list is right. It's crazy how long that list is, and it's continuous that it just keeps happening over and over and over and over again. Like me, I had to like retrain my brain. Like I came from that militant mindset that you should die for your respect and never bow down to nobody. Like, they will literally kill you. There's no coming back from death.
Right.
So, like, I've been in situations. Me and Rob was in a situation almost 10 years ago where, like, he had an incident with the police. And, like, I was literally there and helpless. Like, there was nothing I can do. Mm-hmm. Like, all we can do is try to avoid these situations. And, like, people blame the innocent bystanders for helping them. There's nothing they can do. They're going to get killed, too.
Right.
There's nothing you can do in that situation that's going to help.
Right.
The best way to avoid it is to avoid those situations altogether. Whether or not he was guilty of a crime or not, it didn't justify the officer being his judge and jury in that situation and taking his life.
Right, not at all.
That's
not,
beyond foul to me.
Not for no counterfeit 20 bucks and then or whatever it was.
And on the fact that it was a nigga you knew.
That you've been working with for 17 years.
It's a motherfucker you broke bread with. And that, like... God, dude, like, and I don't know, like, I mean, I won't lie to y'all, like, I won't cap and say that I knew before this, but it wasn't until today that, like, I had saw, like, the alternative video. Like, I kind of felt like, I was, like, saying to myself, I was like, this is kind of ridiculous. Like, there's no way it's just one dude, and then, lo and behold, I saw the video today where it was three niggas. I didn't know that. I didn't know it was three fucking cops that had them down. And this shit is crazy to me. It's like, how y'all arresting a reporter before y'all arrest the motherfucker who did the crime?
Right.
And then he only gets third degree murder? I'm confused. Right. Like,
right.
What did I...
Do we want to define what third degree murder is?
Actually, Tiffany explained it to me earlier. It's like...
basically, somebody dying and you in a distressed moment.
Right.
That's basically so what third would
be. It's like, it's above manslaughter as in you didn't have the full intent to kill somebody, but you also didn't help the situation and helping that person live.
Right.
All that
tells me is that he's probably going to get off.
I think he'll get manslaughter.
And maybe do what? What is the minimum?
Time served.
5 years?
I bet you that would be time served already.
I think so too.
At the time of conviction, yeah. And you're
so,
probably right.
So that's the thing. Me and Johnny was talking about this. It's at that point where we've, as a community, have really, I think, reached that breaking point. Like we've rioted, right? We've protested, we've complained, we've cried, we've been frustrated, but now we've been stuck in the fucking house for 2.5 months, and then while shit is, like I said, just barely opening, this stuff happens, and people still are having trouble understanding or hearing us. And when I say people, I mean, you know, the higher ups, obviously the president, obviously the police departments, you know, all of the ranks, right? People are frustrated. They irritated. They bothered. They this is a breaking point. So to me, I think this is going to keep going, and it's going to keep going until we got to rebuild everything, damn near.
So this is, again, I'm going to give my take, man, my take on this whole situation. I just, you know, definitely want to, you know, send my condolences, you know, to his family, first and foremost, you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, there's no coming back from death. You know, whether he, you know, if he, I think he is a father as well. His child is going to be able to not see the life of her father. You know, and yes, you know, we'll celebrate her when she walks across stage. But what about those days that she needed her father to be able to get through those tough times, to be able to have her self-image, to be able to be the queen that she is? We don't have that because he's gone. There's no way to bring him back at this point of time in our life that we know of that we can bring somebody back. And then as well, you know, this is something that I think I've alluded to. Me and VJ had a kind of a conversation, and I told him, you know, in regards to change happening, change is not going to happen unless it starts with us. And that actually goes to what Wayne said. You know, Wayne actually said something. Everybody was kind of like, you know, and disturbed at what he said. You know, we got to start with ourselves, but everybody didn't finish the whole interview of what he said. You know, again, there's previous things that Wayne said that I don't agree with, but you know, in this regard, I would say I do. He said, you know, most people want to have a tweet. Most people want to have a t-shirt made. Most people want to do all this, but everybody doesn't like, what else are you doing? You know, you know what I mean? And my comeback for that was, what are we doing as a community? You go to any big city, San Francisco, you go to LA, you go to wherever, go to your MLK Boulevard. Where's your MLK Boulevard at? Why is your MLK Boulevard the hood of the hood? Why can't we build that hood up? Why can't we go paint those apartments? Why can't we go paint those houses? Why can't we uplift our community first and then be able to, we're doing something with us within, and then start branching off? It starts with us in regards to healing us as a whole in regards to that. That, again, this is just my opinion. I'm not saying that we're all going to agree in this situation. My thing is, again, it starts with healing within and us being able to take care of our community, and then being able to do more. Again, us going to protest, us being able to riot, I have nothing against that, because I feel like when you get your mouth closed so for so many times, and we're doing so many peaceful things in regards to taking a knee, in regards to, you know, doing the things that we're doing for Colin Kaepernick, you know, that Brandon Marshall did, Kenny Stills, you know, that they were just doing a unviolent protest. And then now, since you haven't listened to us, we're going to do a violent protest, because at the end of the day, you weren't listening to us then, we're going to listen to us now. But my thing is, what are we going to build on from this moment, from May 30th? What are we building on from here? How are we going to get better? It starts with our community first before we can build out. That's just true. My opinion.
As far as the protest, I'm for all of the protesting. We tried the peaceful protest. Our brother Martez down in Phoenix, Arizona, they tried to do a peaceful protest there. They were shot at by the police with rubber bullets. Wow. The story is still on his Instagram right now. They were shot at by the police with rubber bullets.
In San Jose. You go to San Jose. I mean, the live feeds are up on that. But I'm my bad. Right. I didn't mean to interrupt. My bad.
So I have no issue with the violent protest at that point. Burn all that shit down.
Yeah.
Burn all that shit down. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
That's the only way they're going to understand is you start destroying this shit.
Right.
As far as destroying stuff in our community, Elijah alluded to it a little bit. That I don't understand so much. But the police station, the courthouse, I was telling VJ earlier, the courthouse, all that shit, burn all that shit down. We built that shit anyway for free. Burn all that shit down.
Yeah.
And then you're right. We do need to build up our communities. All the street shit that we was into, all that shit that don't matter. Anybody that's listening to me right now, all that shit is dead.
Yeah.
Look at my face. I'm dead serious. All that shit is dead. That shit means nothing. Y'all fighting over blocks y'all don't own. All that shit is dead. Y'all got to dead all that shit. We got to build our communities within, and we got to start appreciating each other, because that's the only way shit is going to change.
Yeah. Telling you, man.
Until we start appreciating each other, nobody else is going to appreciate us.
Preach. So
y'all got to be real about it. You can't be fighting over blocks, neighborhoods, and colors, and gangs, and all this other shit. It doesn't make sense in the long run. We're destroying ourselves.
You niggas fighting over blocks named after dead white men.
Say that one more time.
So you niggas is fighting over blocks named after dead white men.
Right.
Who ain't for fuck about you.
Right.
Go ahead, V. Go ahead, yeah. V. I know you got something you want
to
add.
No, I was just gonna say. I mean, I agree. I agree. We got to continue to build up our community, and it's not something we haven't been doing. We've been doing it. It's just we have to continue to expand on that effort. But in cases like this, I do feel like people on the outside will try to refer to us not doing enough and make it seem as if that's the issue, when I know it's not the issue. Like, we've all been in our communities, we've been in the streets, we've been, trying to build up, and it's gonna require so much more because we've been at a disadvantage for so long. We've been behind when we've been trying to play catch up for so long that now we're here where we got so many people in our community that are educated, that are capable, that are starting to develop this generational wealth and things of that nature to actually provide the means to actually help make these communities better places, right? So I just want to make sure that people understand, like, yes, we got to build up our communities, and in the same breath, like, for the people that don't get it, fuck you.
And I mean, okay, let me add to that. So just like V said, we have to be able to do more. And you going to pick up trash in a community, in our community, that is not, no offense, that's not doing anything. What I mean by us getting ahead is you rebuilding that community that looks like that looks like just
right
doo-doo, that pure doo-doo. Yeah,
don't, you know, pick when you up go the trash, repaint the playground.
That's what it, bro, that's exactly what I'm saying. Repaint some mulch. Repaint the houses that are there. Put some grass down, put some saw down, put be able to put some cement down where you can be able to have new roads in that situation. Because we all know how it is at that point of time. Again, you go in the community, you build that little seed, and that little seed ends up being a redwood tree. At the end of the day, that generational wealth has to start with your house first. At the end of the day, I'm gonna say exactly what I was telling my boy earlier. You look at LeBron, you look at Beyonce, you look at any of these people that have done stuff for the black community, because Beyonce and Jay-Z do so much for the black community that we don't know about, which we don't need to know about. You look at LeBron, you look at Colin, have done a lot for the black community. But the one thing that I will say, if your household is not fixed first, you cannot help anybody else unless you are fixed inside first. You can't go and help the next person next door if you aren't helped. That's why on the airplane, what do they say? When the mask drops, you put yours on first and then you help the next person. You have to be able to help you in regards to making sure your house is taken care of. What I mean by that is our brothers and sisters that don't even know their kid's favorite teacher, or going to knowing your kids' grades, knowing what their favorite TV show is, their favorite color. Those little things that we have to be able to take care of as a community to be get better. We can't get better unless we stay together. And we can't stay together if your household isn't together. You can't worry about the next household if you ain't even taking care of yours. That's like somebody worrying about, hey, you got a branch in your eye, but I got a freaking rod in my eye. I got something bigger in my eye, but I'm worried about me instead. Yeah. I'm worried about them instead of worried about myself. I have to be able to worry about
you. You definitely got to practice what you preach. I think that's a big part of all of it. I got to ask you guys this: where do we go from here?
Before we answer that question, I just want to touch on something real, real quick, because Elijah was like leading to something I was going to say, and I'm glad that he brought it up. I just want to say, like, just for the record, like, I'm going to say, like, the third week after, like, I had left LA, I came back to Philly, And one of the first things that I ended up wanting to do is because I used to go to Andrew Hamilton School on 57 Miss Ruth. To this day, they still have like some glass mosaic mural I did when I was in like fifth grade or some shit. And like I passed that shit one day and I was like, damn, like I really like want to go into school and like go talk to these kids about what it is that I do. And I like wanted to go find like a teacher that I knew, somebody I had seen back in the day. Never ran into anybody I knew, but the principal was nice enough to let me host like a small like 45 minute to an hour little introductory into like my profession and just like what do I do. We did it in the auditorium, but basically I showed them this shit right here and they looked at it like it was a fucking spaceship. This is the damn computer tablet, bro. They've never seen no shit like this before. They have no idea like what a lot of this shit does. Just like they had computers, but they don't have like necessarily like the tools. Right. And you show kids shit like this and like you really gotta understand, yo, my nigga, like the year 2020, a lot of these kids still believe that they can only be athletes and rappers.
Yeah.
They don't know the extent that the world has to offer. They don't understand the potential right, that right. the world has to offer. And like when you do shit like that and like it becomes a foreign thing to them, like you're like, nah, like look, you can do this. And like, and some of them will even tell you like, oh well, you know, you live here, so it's different. And I'm like, no, like it's not different. Like I live right where you used to live at. I used to make fucking mixtape covers for whack ass rappers. I used to make club promoter like flyers and shit like that. And you know what I'm saying? Like it got me to where I was at. Like it was a way to practice and hone my craft, but you have to be willing to go find that information because I didn't find that shit.
Can I add anything after Rob is done? Can I ask something before you go on to your question, V?
No, go ahead.
Yeah.
So this is in all honesty, I might say something to be able to disturb how everybody feels, what they believe, but I'm gonna say how I feel. Rob said something that was so key. At the end of the day, this is why I respect Barack Obama so much, because Barack Obama brought that wish, that hope, that belief that you can be able to do something outside of just being an athlete, a rapper, a typical Black African American male.
You got to look at what they see as success.
But I'm just saying it from the standpoint of people that have said, well, Barack Obama didn't do this, Barack Obama didn't do that. Yeah. The reason why there were no
successful Black men.
No. I'm going off of the typical LA cat that you could talk to, and the LA cat will tell you like, well, Barack Obama didn't do nothing while he was in office. For me, Barack Obama did more than any other Black American that could have done something at this moment. Why? Because he gave Elijah hope. He gave Elijah's future children hope, because they can do something outside of the typical success of what white America believed it was. Whether that is being a successful football player, basketball player, an athlete in general, but you can be able to be more than just what the typical white man has you on a spectrum of being. So again, that was just something I wanted to add. Again, my bad, wasn't trying to, you know, but that was just something that going off what Rob said, I think that was having that belief in yourself that you can do something outside of just the typical norm of right. y'all morass.
That's a great point from both of y'all. You know that right. that look, there's so much talent out there within the Black community. You yeah. know, the ability to just
well, shit, they know that they take shit from us all the time.
Oh, right. of course.
And to jump in and answer VJ's question, where do we go from here? We destroy it. We burn all that shit down. That's that way they can see our pain, and then we rebuild it. We have the skills and talent to rebuild all of this. We have the architects. We have the ability to do AutoCAD and design these sketches and rebuild these communities at the same time.
So
we destroy it, we burn it down, and then we rebuild it.
So have you seen on the target that was burnt down who the people were that were building it back up or that were fixing it? That were the African Americans that were fixing it. Literally, there were people outside fixing the looting that went on that nobody wants to show. Black people were there sweeping up everything, all the broken glass, all the stuff that was being torn down, whatever, were there fixing it. So that goes exactly what you said. You know what I mean, Johnny? Exactly. I mean, I know you don't mean it in that per se, you know what I'm saying? But they did exactly that. You know, yes, we looted. Yes, we did what we needed to do. We made our point. Now we're going to rebuild because we are a community. but we're gonna show you how we felt. Right. First,
but also, let me,
no, that bad. Is let exactly what I meant. That's exactly what I meant.
Let me just interject and say this one thing though. There are some rumblings around saying that like there's some people from outside parties who are paid to go in and just like make shit look even worse than what it was. Like just yeah. going in and ransacking shit.
I posted a couple of them videos.
I did see that too.
You know, which is crazy, but it's not far fetched at all.
Not at all.
Because it's, I mean, imagine like how easy it is to frame people that already are perceived as animals.
And they have masks on. Right. Come on now. And you can't see them as we've seen the cops that had the stuff behind their ear, had the handcuffs in their pocket. Come on, bro. Right. What we gonna
go? Motherfuckers have the license now to walk around with masks, gloves. Come on. Like, right. what else do we need to discuss? But also, going back to what you're saying, where do we go from here? Let me just make this also very clear. This is not a hate podcast, and then this is not something against anybody who is not of ethnic background.
It never will be.
No, I know, but what I'm
he just wanted like, he just wanted to put that disclaimer out.
I want to put that out because I have been saying shit like, oh, you know, they steal from us, it's that and third, and you know, like I don't give a fuck, like that is facts. You know, I have friends from all different backgrounds, and I'm gonna voice these same fucking opinions to them. It's not gonna change because I'm in a room full of black men. No, like this is my energy all the time, and regardless of how you feel about it, like that's great. You can share your opinion, but fuck you. I'm living this.
Right.
I know what's happening. Like I'm here, so you can't tell me anything different from what it is that I'm experiencing.
Right.
And you also can't, you know, like it's a catch 22 with that, because you also can't sit there and be like, yo, like, nah, like I feel you. You don't feel me. The best you can do is empathize. Don't sympathize.
Empathize
with the situation. Got you. And so, on top of that, if you can lend a helping hand, pay that shit forward. Not necessarily to me, but you see somebody else out in the street, pay that shit forward to them. Help right. them. Defend right. them.
So going off of what Rob said, man, what we could do to move forward. One, everybody that, you know, again, this is a disclaimer against, you know, this is not a hate against anybody outside of African American culture. This, again, we love everybody, but I'm gonna be real. If you are part of the black culture and you support black music, black clothing, black shoes, black anything, attire that we represent, and you're not on the front lines with us, whether that's saying something as a post, whether that's something in standing up in the cause, do not support us when everything is cool. Don't be that. We don't want to see you then. We want to see you now. Just like Rihanna said. Just like when Rihanna said, you know what I mean? Everybody got white friends. Support us now when we need you, not when we are in when everything is all peaches and cream. So what can we move doing forward? All we can do is to be able to build ourselves individually so we can be able to build a community that is a conglomerate that nobody can be able to stop. But it starts with us to be able to pass that generational wealth down to our future kids, our kids' kids. Again, we somebody said, or I wouldn't say on this podcast, but somebody said earlier, you know, what our ancestors did, they didn't pass that on to us. And people were like, well, you know, if I was what my ancestors were back in the day, you know, I would have done this and that. The thing is, if we were our ancestors, some of the stuff that we let pass, we wouldn't have let pass. We would have fought for it, whether that's not going to H&M because H&M said this and that, and then when they have a 50% off, we go right back to them, or Gucci does this and that, and then we go back to them. Back in the day, our black culture could not go to tailor-made places. They didn't accept black people. So what did black people do? They said, we're going to make our own. And then that's how that became about. And we stayed with doing that until we were accepted as a whole. So the same thing goes with us. It starts with us first. When we can be able to build us individually as a community, then we will individually be able to be a conglomerate that we can't be able to mess with, because we built a dynasty that we can't, that can't touch us at all.
Yeah.
Let me jump in real quick just to piggyback off of that. Like we do have to build brick by brick. You yourself as a any type of individual, you are the first brick. So you have to work on yourself. You have to polish that brick, build it up so it's strong and it can stand the test of time. And then then you expand out to your family and your friends, and you strengthen those bricks. And then we do that as a community, and we keep going. Just like Elijah said with the brands, like we built our own brand. Stop supporting Fashion Nova that don't support nothing for you in your communities. Stop supporting that shit. Stop supporting Gucci. They clearly don't give a fuck about you.
I've been roasting niggas wearing Gucci.
Like, we control everything that's cool.
Right.
And, like, y'all don't see that. Like, it's, everything we say is cool is cool.
And
everybody follows what we say.
Come on, man.
I will say that it is. I mean, it definitely is an uphill battle. It still is. We're still obviously trying to maneuver around the corporate, you know, America and getting more feet in the door, per se. You know, but I do want to say that I will acknowledge the other, my friends and family of other races and ethnicities that are acknowledging, they're asking questions, they want to know how they can help.
Preach.
You know, those people are greatly appreciated. People, you don't understand how this is what we've been asking for so long. And maybe the fact that we've all, everybody's been in the house with the chance to witness, you know, we literally watched this man lose his life. Like, it wasn't like the camera turned away or like...
And you can't see what happened.
It was blurry. No, it was clear cut. We watched him take his last breath, you know? And so I think people finally realize, or at least more people I'm starting to see, are realizing, like, wait a minute, that was not okay. That he wasn't doing, he didn't do anything worthwhile to justify him dying in that moment. I don't care if he had a heart attack. I don't care. Regardless, if they would have handled that situation better, I'm talking about the police, he would be alive. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, my other thing that and maybe you guys can touch on this in your own, from your own perspective. And I know for myself, I've had to kind of limit how much I'm on social media right now, because at this point, I am experiencing some PTSD.
So can I add on to that, please?
Yeah,
I'm gonna give my personal story. So my wife just had to deal with, you know, a lot of stuff. Again, she's in law enforcement, and you know, she had one of her people that were in law enforcement that support Trump. So my wife posted, you know, something, you know, in regards to, you know, things that were going on, and did the tale of two tales, you know, of the whites that were at the national building, and they all had guns, and, you know, they were, you know, cheered on. Hey, you know, you guys are, you know, fighting a good fight. And then, you know, flash forward to, you know, our protest, and, you know, where we're known as thugs. So, you know, my wife was just saying, you know, this is, you know, come get your president. And, you know, this guy went off, and I literally almost was in a fight, you know, with this dude, you know, letting them know, hey, you know, if you in a situation where you're trying to disrespect my wife, you know, that's not going to happen. Because at the end of the day, you know, we can all have a difference of opinion, and that's totally fine. This is what this platform is for differences of opinion. But the difference in having differences in opinion and you being obnoxious and talking about somebody, that's something that's just not going to happen. So I definitely get what you're saying, V, because I promise you, I don't care if dude was a police officer, he was going to get these hands. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Again, and, you know, he was like, oh, you were threatening me? No, it was a promise. You know what I'm saying? Anytime it comes to my wife, that's not about to happen. I'm sorry, that's just not about to happen any type of way. And I think anybody in here that has a significant other, you're not gonna allow anybody to disrespect them with with any social media platform. I don't care who you are, you know what I'm saying? But that's just what I had to deal with today. So V, I definitely get what you're saying in regards to being in a situation where you have to distance yourself, because once I made my post, I left my post alone. And then the dude replied like an hour and a half after, And I was like, oh, now you reply, but now I got to come back with something. You know what I'm saying? So again, it's not a situation where we're making false threats. Like I told him, don't be tough behind the internet. You know what I'm saying? When you see me, you could be you could be a beat cop, but at the end of the day, when you see me, speak on it.
But I mean, that's the scary part, or the funny part in ways is like some of these people you cross paths with, and they don't have nothing to say to you.
I would screenshot that shit too, bro.
Man, hey, for real, you know, it's perfectly okay to call people out. You know, at this point, we in 2020, like, that's what the receipts are for, right? You know, I think about my own moments. I mean, I've been plenty of times since I've moved to Los Angeles, like being pulled over by cops for random reasons. When I was back home in the Bay Area,
Lord Jesus,
cops drew the guns on me and a couple people because we were trying to shoot a music video and they thought
Mare Island. Yep,
Elijah know the story. You know, and at that point, I remember like thinking my life, you know, was flashing before my eyes. Like, you know, I never had been in that type of experience before. And I'm like, how do I explain this if I make it out? Like, how do I tell this to people, to my family? Like, what do I tell them? Like, look, like they had their guns drawn, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just crazy. I remember the most recent time I got pulled over, which was this past year, for something basic, like, I think it was my registration had just expired or something. And I knew I had to get it taken care of or whatever, but I got pulled over and I knew that was why, but I was so nervous. And it's like, you think about all the shit that's going on and it's like, fuck, if I make the wrong move, could I be next? And I don't know if people outside always understand that because maybe they've never experienced it, but I can guarantee you the four gentlemen looking in this camera right now and many others outside have been through that same type of experience. Right. And you have move, you walking on eggshells.
But see, I don't want to sound misguided, but it's just the way that I feel. If people don't understand, it's because they don't want to understand. They don't want to look into it. It's just something that you turn the cheek to. It's just like, it's kind of like you at your friend's house and y'all having a good time, and then you find out together that nigga did something bad and he get his ass beat in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, all right, I'm going to just move out of frame on this one. This shit ain't got nothing to do with me. My name wasn't called. His name was called. So let me just chill, and then afterwards I'm going to ask him if you all
right. Right. Yeah.
That's just kind of how I feel about it, because as much as black people have so many other people talk down to them in this world and tell them how less talented or, you know, like how, you know, how much dumber they are than them. It's just like, okay, so if you know so much more about the world than me, if you're so knowledgeable, if you're so culture-based, then why the fuck you can't tell me about what's going on in America? Why can't you tell me about police brutality against African Americans?
Right.
Why don't you know that?
Right. Why are we still trying to convince you?
Yeah. And then, you know, the hardest thing about the situation is if you all are in any type of, you know, public setting, you know, Rob, you might be in it, you know, V, I know you might be in regards to, I know you know, might have Hispanic coworkers or whatnot, but, you know, they're not all predominantly black. So when we have the conversation that we have, you know, and you'll see somebody post, maybe not an All Lives Matter, or you'll hear somebody post a, you know, we all need to come together. And it's like, yes, we do. But at the same time,
fight hate with love.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But it's like, do you understand what we're going through? Do you understand what we're going through first and foremost?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I should not be afraid of telling, of getting pulled over. I should not have to, and honestly, I'm praying for both V and Johnny in this situation, because you have two daughters. You have to have the conversation, which I don't understand why we as a race have to have a conversation with our young ones, telling them, hey, when you get pulled over, or when this happens, or when this happens, I shouldn't have to go through this to tell you, because we are an African American race. We have to be able to go through this. We have to have, not just to talk about the birds and the bees. No, we have to have a talk about, if you were to get pulled over, I need you to really realize what you're doing. Right. And I understand.
Have a lot of conversations.
You know what I'm saying? But that's what I'm saying. We shouldn't have to deal with that.
We gotta talk about birds and bees, cops and robbers, and B's and C's being in LA.
Right.
Hey, you gotta have a lot of conversations.
Elijah knows growing up, it was crazy to think about because like my mom, I'm half black, right? But I identify as a black man. I'm perceived as a black man.
You want to tell me the Oscar Grant story?
We'll touch on that. But just to go back to what you were saying, it's crazy because like my mom is Indian. She grew up in a different country, but spent her adult part of her life in Oakland, California, and throughout the Bay Area. So she was, she experienced different cultures. And it was very interesting because, and Elijah knows this, you know, growing up together, anytime we would leave the house, my mom would give us a lecture.
Lord Jesus. And it would be the same.
Same thing. Don't give the police a reason to pull you over. Don't give them a reason to stop you. Don't give them a reason to think you're doing something wrong, even if you're not doing something wrong. And it's funny. It's like this little Indian woman telling me all these things, you know, and I'm like, growing up, you're like, dang, mom, like you saying this every time we step out the house, like, well, you know, we just going to the movies. But then shit start happening and you like, oh, wow. Like even a woman from a different country who has to raise a black son has to give a talk to her black son and his black friends, you know, every time he leaves the house, and she would leave the patio light on until I come home because she'd be worried that something might happen, you know? And that's so many households.
Yeah.
So many.
Big facts.
I mean, like I said, we could literally talk just, you know, that the day Oscar Grant died, you know, RIP to his family, was the day that her moms, you know, VJ moms literally said, you know, maybe you guys should drive that day. Because at that time, me, VJ, and our other boy, you know, Jordan, we were all going to take the BART that same day. We were all supposed to take the BART to the city. Everybody, you know, when you're in the Bay, you know, you go to the city, you know, for, you know, the ball drop, you know, you have fun, whatever.
You got to explain the city to the non.
Oh, I'm sorry.
San Francisco,
to be exact. I know. You are. Yeah. that would be, you know, going to San Francisco. So for us, we were like, yo, like, okay, you know, like we didn't understand. We like, okay, whatever it is, what it is. So we ended up going there, you know, driving to San Francisco, you know, having fun, seeing the ball drop, then actually driving to Berkeley, you know, guns, we actually, you know, went to a party, guns were going off, got back in the car, you know, ended up going to this, to one of our friend's spot and, you know, just how that whole day played out of everything going on. And then coming to find out the next day, Oscar Grant passed out. I passed away. You know what I'm saying?
No, he was murdered.
I'm sorry. My bad, fans. I am sorry. He was murdered. He was definitely murdered. But what I mean by passed away, he was passed away by somebody murdering him. So, you know, in that situation, it's like you had somebody that, again, that was from a different country that was foreseeing other things that were going on that were saying, hey, just don't drink and drive. But I think it would be better if you guys drive rather than you guys taking part in this situation.
Right.
So it allows us to have these conversations, but why are we having these conversations? You don't hear any other race having these same conversations that we have.
Right. And I think that's something that last part that you just said is something big because, you know, people always say like, oh, well, why are y'all always complaining? What about when the cops killed the white person or the this and that? And I'm like, look, If y'all present that to us and say, hey, we are upset because the law enforcement killed this person wrongfully, we would be up in arms with that the same way we're up in arms with black, when unarmed black
people. But they don't because they don't killed. Give a fuck for the most part.
Right. And that's that's the point. It's like, y'all don't value what we value. We value, you know, Like, our lives are important.
Our lives are all we have.
We've literally been fighting for so long.
But you also see, what you said, if a white person dies, we still celebrate in that situation of telling somebody this and this happened to them. We will share that same social media post to let them know, hey, this person was killed unnecessarily. You know what I mean?
I will say this.
But will the white people do the same thing for the black people?
I don't even know if this is the proper way to word it, but in some ways I feel like black people are too loyal.
Very.
Yeah. 1,000%.
But going off of that, why are all the black people always allowing somebody to come to the kickout? I mean, to the cookout.
Because we're too loyal, too accepting.
Right.
And we're
too forgiving.
Yeah, we're too forgiving.
But I'm just going off of what V just said, you know, and Rob hit it on the point of, I think, about three pods ago, talking about Doja Cat. You know what I'm saying? In her situation. At the end of the day, we're so accepting of other races. But at the same time, in regards to coming in and being a part of this, like, again, we've had one friend that we're, I'm not saying that we all have said anything to, because not all, at least for me, I can only identify for myself. I haven't said everything to an Asian person that acts black and has said the N-word. I haven't said, I'm not gonna sit here and say I've called every single person out, but there's a few that you definitely have called out on. But at the same time, why is it that we are accepting of that?
But that's what I was about to say.
Let Rob get this one.
Go ahead, Rob.
Please let me take this one. Number one, I've always been no tolerance to that shit. Like, number one, I don't say nigga in front of white people because I don't want them to ever feel like they'll be in the comfortable space of ever saying that shit in front of me. Number two, if I ever run into somebody new that's outside of my circle and I feel like they might feel like that's the kind of energy, I'm giving off that kind of energy. Like, don't even play with me like that. Like, I'm very, like, serious in the face about shit like that. Like, we'll have a conversation, we'll chop it up, I'm gonna treat you just like a man or woman, whatever the conversation may be. But don't you ever in your life feel like you have any ownership to that word. Like, I'm not okay with that shit. Mm-hmm. in any sense of the matter. And I remember the closest I've ever gotten to this shit, I ain't gonna say no names, but first year I moved out to LA, I remember, like, I had, like, a student orientation, whatever. I was kicking it with this girl, came back to my apartment, like, we was just, like, talking, like, just regular nonsense. And then one of my roommates, he was in the kitchen, and he was like, yo, my mom had a cookout today. And I was like, oh, word, like, that's what's up. He was like, yeah, like, she brought back, she gave me some stuff to bring back to the house. Like, you really love this shit. And I was like, oh, word, what's up? What she bring? This motherfucker packed, I kid y'all not, this motherfucker brought back fried chicken and watermelon. Son, hold on. Shorty was Asian. She looked at me and was like, yo, I think I'm gonna go home. And I was like, yeah, I think that's a good idea. Like, I need to have a grown man.
Oh my gosh.
So she dipped. And I had to sit in the kitchen for a cold 15, 20 minutes. I took a lap around the apartment real quick. I had to get my words together because so much could go wrong in this situation. I had to think to myself, I was like, yo, I could dead ass be going home or GP the first day. I could get kicked out of my shit today because of this. I kind of sunned him on some shit. I was like, I just grabbed him by the shoulder. I was like, yo, like, come in the room with me. Like, we got to talk. Like, because we got two other roommates, too. So I didn't want to embarrass him. It wasn't even about that. So, because I really didn't understand or know the extent of what he said or what he actually knew.
Yeah.
Come to find out, he was just a tone-deaf white boy.
Wow.
And, like, that's fine. Like, I'm not going to lie and say I didn't want to beat the brakes off of him, but it was more constructive to have that conversation. And regardless of whether or not it led to any progression in his life, I don't really know. We don't really keep up like that. But the thing is, like, the conversation had to be had. So it was like, look, you got fair warning. You took your shot, whether you meant it to be one or not. And I will say, in that moment, he did apologize. He did seem to be, like, very unaware of the things he said. And honestly, like, some of his mannerisms and characteristics that, like, he tend to pull off later kind of showed me that, like, this motherfucker was hyped to watch Boondocks and the Chappelle Show with me, like, all the time. It was kind of cringy.
That's fine. That's a one-on-one situation. Like, us as a whole, we shouldn't have to do that publicly on social media at this point in time.
I agree.
I get that that's a one-on-one situation. I'm not discarding that at all.
Yeah.
Because that's somebody that you guys live in the same space.
Oh, definitely.
No. I'm saying he may have grew up
sheltered. I was agreeing with you. I was saying, okay. Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So I'm saying, like, we shouldn't have to do that publicly on social media explaining why we have certain values about certain things at this point in time.
Facts.
One-on-one situations, that's different because you give your personal standpoint.
Right.
But I'm saying us as a whole, we shouldn't have to explain why we're upset right now.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I said. That's why I said I was trying to stay away. And you know, cause like my boy hit me and he knows like I'm vocal about Black culture. Mm-hmm. And that goes to say, like, I've had to learn a lot. Like, you know, 10 years ago, I probably wouldn't have had maybe the same stances on everything because I just didn't know any better, right? But as you grow up and you learn and you start to actually understand or maybe just live a little bit more.
Start to experience some shit.
Yeah, right.
I'm the same way. I didn't understand Black culture until probably college. I only had hood culture up until that
point. Mm-hmm.
I learned Black culture, like, as a whole, as all of our struggles later on.
Right. So
I think for myself coming from California, you're so diverse in a lot of different things. Like, you think
Panthers,
you know, I mean, that's okay, but I mean, for us, we're so diverse with all the different cultures though. You know, you got Chinatown down there, you know, you got Japantown, you got, you know, you have so many, you got Nigerian town, like, you got so many different things in different communities. Where I wasn't used to this until I went to college to a PWI, which is a predominantly white institution. And it got me to a point where I had to open my eyes, like, bro, like, I was spoiled my culture. Like, my culture, I didn't realize that I had. I just thought this was everyday life. But it wasn't. It was something that I had to learn. Like BJ said, if you would have asked me 10 years ago who I was or what the Black culture was, I would have just said everybody in our community, which was everybody included,
exactly.
Rather than having a specific, you know, avenue of what our African American community was.
Right, exactly. Me too.
And you
I was fucking white bitches and everything back then.
Yo,
man, we recorded, man.
It don't matter. They know where I'm at.
This is a late night podcast, so you know.
Twitter after dark. Twitter after dark.
But yeah, it's crazy, you know. And like Johnny touched on, we shouldn't have to explain ourselves at this point, and that's why it's so frustrating. You know, and that's why I'm like, you know, look, I don't even need to say anything right now. Y'all got it. Like I'm gonna let my soldiers speak. Like I've said enough. I've protested. You know, at this point, I'm gonna find ways to do as much as I can for the community to continue to uplift us, and also provide a sense of value for maybe others that don't understand it yet. You know, if that's something that I could do to the point where people are like, wow, like okay, I'm starting to see why you guys maneuver this way. Hey, and you know that's an accomplishment. So.
Like, man, most importantly, just teach these young niggas, man. Like, just let them know. Let them understand, like, the world that they live in. Like, this shit ain't built for them to just be safe. Right. Like, I was watching The Walking Dead today. Mainly, I was inspired just because of all this quarantine shit, and it just had me, like, thinking about it. But, so, I don't know if y'all watched this shit, but... the dude Rick Grimes, he was talking to his son Carl, and the first thing he said to him, and like that shit like resonated so hard with me. Like he looked at him and he was like, "All right, like I'm about to go on this supply run, but I need you to hear me when I say this." And he was like, "Okay, go ahead, like say whatever you got to say." He was like, "You are not safe. I don't care where you are, who you are with, how much fun you're having. You are not safe. You are responsible for you and whoever is around you. Right. And you need to make sure that that company is kept in a manner where you can be secure and where you can protect yourself and others. Right. And I was like, fam, like, if that's not the conversation to have with your son or your daughter and let them know the kind of world they live in, then I don't know how else to. Like, right. And that's something you can say in front of your children and in front of other races without them feeling alienated and not feeling like they can't pass that on to their own children.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is the conversation to be had. There was something else I had to say, but I'll pick it up.
Yeah.
And sure, I mean, we all, the four of us as Black men, we are accomplished. We all went to college, we all graduated and such. We're business owners. We have multiple podcasts. We have clothing lines. We are accomplished, but we also have to help inspire the next generation after us.
Absolutely.
We didn't make it this far to make it this far.
Right.
So we have to keep continuing to grow and help others grow. So we still have to keep planting those seeds and help our seed grow at the same time.
Yeah.
Right. Me and VJ have conversations every week about how we can do more with business and such. So we just have to continue to have these conversations, and we have to keep inspiring each other and pull each other up by the bootstraps.
Facts.
I know y'all probably saw it. It was like a meme. Well, it wasn't a meme. It was just this short video on Instagram of this basketball player. He made a bad play, and his teammate came over to him and picked his chin up. Y'all saw that?
Mm. Nah. I didn't see it.
It's fire. It's,
yeah. I think it was
UCLA players, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. So he, whatever he did, he made a bad play, whatever, he had his head
down. Then he made him put his chin up?
Yeah, pushed his chin up. We got to do that to each other in real life. Not literally, we ain't got to touch
it. Yeah, yeah.
We got to do that.
Hey, 6 feet, 6 feet, 6 feet, 6 feet, yeah, social distancing.
Exactly. We're definitely not social distancing right now. But that's the type of stuff we got to do. So we got to keep inspiring each other, and we got to pull each other up by the bootstraps and make sure that we all secure. Just like Rob said, you're not safe. You got to be able to protect yourself and people around you.
Facts.
And that's what we got to go with.
On that note, I think we should wrap it up. I just want to say, you know, thank you to the listeners out there for continuous support. Rest in peace to George Floyd and the
rest
many
in peace.
Other victims of
police
brutality.
Oscar Grant,
Mike Brown,
so many
Mike
to name.
Brown, we'll, Trayvon Martin,
we'll be Trayvon, on the show podcast.
Gardner,
yeah,
all night with the rest of these names.
You know, crazy. But continue to fight, continue to speak up, and be vocal, and educate whoever needs to be educated, and you know, and stay proud.
One last thing. Enough of this keyboard warrior shit. Like, if you really out here, you really for people, stop protesting and writing on your story how much you give a fuck. Like,
right.
Show people you give a fuck. Be active out here in the streets. It don't mean you got to be protesting, but something. Yeah.
You ain't got to break a window, but hey.
Go play in the playground.
Right.
Well, exactly.
Lay down at the playground.
And honestly, man, that's all I say, man. Build yourself individually, man. And even if you can't do any of that, build your household up. Build your young daughter up. Build your young son up. Build them to be young kings and queens. Because at the end of the day, that's the next generation that needs to be able to start and be able to continue on the torch that we are pushing forward. So again, if you can't do any of that in regards to going to protest, and you can't, you know, help with the playground, you can't help with putting saw down, you can't help with painting, that's totally fine. Again, it might not be in your means to do so, but step up in your household. Know your wife. Take her love language. Know her love language. Know your kids. Know your kids' favorite teacher. Know your kids' favorite color. Be able to do those things. Step up as a man. Step up as a woman. Be able to know the things of your husband. Be able to know the things of your kids, because again, they're the next generation, and your son and your daughter are looking up to your relationship as an example of what they want for their future.
Yes, right. The youth is the future.
Right.
Yeah.
My spirit mentor always says, it's a marathon. Marathon continues. So
that's it. And on that note, this is, or was the Black Ampersand Podcast. Oh, let me say that again. This was the Bourbon on the Rocks Podcast, presented by the Black Ampersand.
Stay dangerous. Don't change in the courtroom.
Yeah. Stay black.
Good job, fellas.